Good morning. I'm thankful to have another opportunity to bring a lesson this morning. Brother John is unfortunately tied up at work, so filling in for him this morning. But I thought it would be good for us to study about Asa, who was one of the righteous kings of Judah. We'll begin in 1 Kings chapter 15. There's several good lessons that we can gain from going through Asa and his reign as king. Some specific points that I'll note now so that as we go through this that we can hopefully see these come out. But number one is that we need to put our trust and our reliance in God. And we'll see that Asa did this. We'll see how Asa put away the wicked influences from around himself and around his people, and how that he sought God and was found, that he found God. And we also will see here how the Lord shows himself strong to those whose heart is perfect toward him, as was Asa. And we'll also see here that God will reward those who seek and work for him. And so hopefully we can remember some of these points, and we'll see these come out as we read about Asa this morning. Here in 1 Kings chapter 15, we'll start in verse 8. Here it says, Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. So let's note a few things here as we begin our study of Asa. So he began in the 20th year of the reign of Jeroboam, king of Israel. We might recall that Jeroboam was one of the most evil kings of Israel. There were many times as we go through the scriptures and Kings and Chronicles where it was noted that Jeroboam, about Jeroboam's influence. For example, in 2 Kings 15 and verse 24, it says, here he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And we will hear that over and over through the scriptures, how Jeroboam is held up an example of one of the most wicked kings. But thankfully here we'll see that Asa was not influenced by Jeroboam. And instead, as it notes here, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And it notes a couple of things in particular. In verse 12 it says, he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And Lord willing, here in a few little bit we'll see more about that and those things that he did. Let's turn now to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We'll be here in Chronicles quite a bit, so you might put your markers here in Chronicles. Beginning at verse 1, we'll see more concerning Asa. It says here, so Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. So once again we note here that Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And notice several of the things that it mentions here. It says he took away the altars of the strange gods, he took away the high places, he broke down the images, he cut down the groves. And then in verse 4 it says he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Now we need to consider the opportunity that Asa had before him, and then we need to apply that to ourselves and consider the opportunities that we each have to influence in these ways. Here we see Asa used his position as the king to remove these evil influences out of the land and to cause the people to begin to more fully follow the Lord. Now, we might not ever be a king. I dare say most of us in here would not be. But, you know, we all have our situations that the Lord has presented us with in our lives, and we all have the opportunities to do the very same kinds of things that we see Asa doing here. We should be reminded of what the Lord teaches in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, when he says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." We have, all of us, opportunity to show our faithfulness in our own lives in seeking the Lord and doing that which is right and encouraging the ones that are around us to do the same. We see this example also from Abraham that we might be reminded of in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. It says here, God speaking of Abraham, it says, "I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." We see this is a characteristic of those who are righteous, that they do influence around them for good. And we see this with Asa. We see this here with Abraham. And the Lord knew Abraham and what Abraham would do. And of course, this is why he chose Abraham. But he said here that he would command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. And so we should all be considering the opportunities that we have within our own households or with those that are around us and how to encourage them in the right ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 9, he tells us we need to put away the wicked influences from us. Here, beginning in verse 9, he says, "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But now have I written you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do you not judge them that are within? Them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person." So just as we have seen here with Asa, where he removed the Sodomites out of the land and he broke down these idols and destroyed these places where the people were coming to serve these idols, here it tells us we need to put away these ones that are not a part of God's ways, these fornicators, these covetous, these idolaters. We need to put these away from us, as he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We have opportunities also that we need to consider to take action to remove these influences. Now, if we go back to 2 Corinthians 14 and we continue, we'll see that Asa acknowledges the Lord's blessings because they were serving him. And Asa understood that the Lord was doing these things and blessing them as he had. In verses 6 and 7 here of 2 Chronicles 14, it says, "He built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, Let us build these cities and make them about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered." So notice here that Asa is acknowledging God's hand in the things around them. And he's acknowledging the fact that, well, the fact that they were at rest here from their enemies was not by accident. The Lord had given him this blessing. And he understood that it was because that they were seeking the Lord and that he had given them that rest on every side. And so we should consider this ourselves. Do we acknowledge the hand of the Lord in all of these things around us? Do we realize that it's the Lord that's working these things? You know, we all know that promise that he's given in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. That he's working all things together for good to them that love him and who are called according to his purpose. He is working these things for good. And so we should acknowledge his hand in all of these things, just as Asa is doing here. Now, as we continue on in chapter 14, we'll read in the next few verses how an enemy does come up against Asa and against the children of Judah, and we'll see what Asa's response is in dealing with the situation and how we need to have the same attitude as well. Beginning in verse 8 of chapter 14, it says, "And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah of Mareshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. And the Ethiopians were overcome, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. And they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned unto Jerusalem." So we see here that Asa, as king, had an army out of Judah and out of Benjamin, over 500,000 in the army. But what happens here? Well, now the king of Ethiopia comes, and he has almost twice that much. What does Asa do here? Well, Asa put his trust in the Lord. And Asa, as he says there in verse 11, said, "It is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power." You know, this is a common understanding of God's people. In 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6, we see Jonathan expressing something very similar. 1 Samuel 14 and verse 6, "Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." So here was Jonathan facing these Philistines, and what did Jonathan know? He said there was no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And of course, the Lord used Jonathan to overcome those Philistines. And what about David in 1 Samuel chapter 17? In verse 47, as he came up against Goliath, here was David's attitude. He said, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So as David was there facing Goliath, he knew that the battle was whose? Was it his battle or was it the Lord's? And he knew it was the Lord's battle, that he would give Goliath and he would give these Philistines into their hands. So we see this attitude and this understanding of the Lord working amongst these righteous men, amongst Jonathan and amongst David, and here amongst Asa, that he understood that the Lord could deliver them. And that's exactly what we see happening here back in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, is that the Lord did destroy the Ethiopians before Asa and his army. Now, as we continue on into chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles, we'll see that the Lord sends a prophet to go and to encourage Asa to continue to strengthen the land and to strengthen their resolve to serve him. Beginning in verse 1, in chapter 15, it says here, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel has been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God had vexed them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. So notice what the prophet tells Asa and tells the people here in verse 2. He says, the Lord is with you while you be with him. He says, if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And then in verse 7, he encourages them, be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak. And he reminds them, as we should all be reminded, that our work will be rewarded by the Lord. Now we know, as Paul preached there in Athens in Acts chapter 17, that the Lord's purpose for all nations that he's put on this earth is that they seek the Lord. As he says there in verse 27 of Acts 17, he says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. The Lord wants all of us to be seeking him. And as he encouraged Asa and the children of Judah to be seeking him, he wants us to be seeking him. And he's promised us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, that if we do that, that we will find him. Just as we read just now in Acts 17, he says, though he be not very far from us, from every one of us, in Matthew chapter 7, he says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So there in verse 8, everyone that asks, receives. And he that seeketh, findeth. We need to be seeking the Lord. That's what he's put us here to do. And he's given us that promise that if we will do that, that we will find him. And then he goes on and reminds us that when we do that, we will also be rewarded. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. When we come to God, he tells us two things that we need to remember. It says in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So as the prophet here was encouraging Asa and the children of Judah to be strong, to not be weak, he also reminded them that their work would be rewarded. And here the Lord tells us in verse 6 that we not only need to believe in God, but we also need to believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And of course, if we're convinced of that, then what are we going to be doing? We're going to be diligently seeking him. And we're going to be doing the work that he wants us to be doing in this life. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. Jesus reminds us about this reward that he has waiting. Verse 27, it says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. The Lord has put us here on this earth to do good works, to serve him, to find the good that he wants us to be doing, and to then do that. And the Lord is going to return. And he is going to reward each of us according to our works. And so, just as we read there in Chronicles concerning Asa, we also should be strong and not let our hands be weak. And we need to be reminded of the reward that is there before us. Now, what was Asa's response to that encouragement to be strong and not be weak? Well, if we go back and we look in 2 Chronicles 15, we'll pick up in verse 8 here, and we'll see exactly what Asa did and what he had the people to do. Beginning in verse 8, it says, when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage. and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. So here we see in verse 8, when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, he took courage. That word courage is literally, it means to fasten upon. So Asa heard these things that the Lord wanted him to do, and he took courage to go and to focus and fasten on doing those things. And we note here how he put these, put these idols out of the land and out of the cities of the people there. And it says they renewed the altar of the Lord. And then in further down in verse 12, how he had all of the people to enter into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all of their heart and all of their soul. So he gathered the people to have them make this covenant that they would seek the Lord with all of their heart. And there in verse 15, it notes there that all Judah rejoiced at that oath that he had them to take. It says, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them. So as the Lord had promised, if you seek me, I will be found of you. Well, they were seeking him, and it says they were seeking him with their whole desire. And of course, that needs to be our attitude towards the Lord as well. In Matthew chapter 22, when they came and they asked the Lord concerning the great commandment, what was his answer to them? Well, in verse 37, it says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And this is what the Lord wants each of us to be diligent to do, is to love him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, just as we see Asa encouraging the people to do. This should be our life. Deuteronomy 32, let's read verses 45 through 47 here, as Moses had given these commands for the children of Israel to follow. He's trying to show them here how important these commandments are and how much we should be about these commandments and doing these commandments. Beginning at verse 45 of Deuteronomy 32, it says, Moses made an end of speaking all these words to Israel, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. We need to keep in mind that these commandments that the Lord has given us, they should be our life. We should realize this is what our life is about. The Lord has set us here to serve him and to do his will, and he has a purpose for us to fulfill. And so these things do need to be our life, and we need to give all of our heart and mind and soul and strength to doing these things. Now, as we come back to 2 Chronicles, we see some additional things that Asa does here as we continue on to read in verse 16. It says, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. So as part of this effort of removing these idols from the land, we also notice here that he removed his mother from being queen, it says, because she had made an idol in a grove. And then it says he cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. Now, what would his mother have thought about all of that? You know, no doubt she wouldn't have been too pleased about that, right? She obviously had been worshiping this idol. And, of course, that would have been an influence that others would have seen as well, with her being the queen, that here she was worshiping this idol. And so here Asa moves and removes her from being queen and gets rid of those idols, stamps it up, burns it in the brook Kidron. Well, we all need to be reminded that we, again, it may not be at the same level here as what Asa had to deal with. But God always needs to come first. And we all have family situations, just as Asa had here, where he had to make the right call. And that call needs to be that God is always the one that comes first. When Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 34, he made some points that we need to be reminded of, because no doubt we're all going to have to deal with this at different times in our own lives. Verse 34, Jesus says, "Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." There in verse 35, Jesus said, "I am come to set a man at variance against his father," to make a separation. It's the word that we get our word dichotomy from, a separating of two things. Jesus knows there are going to be those times where we're going to have these divisions in our families over these spiritual matters, and that we, as his disciples, have to make a choice. And Jesus said, "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." And so we need to make that right choice when that time comes. And so Asa here was tested when his mother, who was very prominent among the people, was recognized as the queen. But yet she was serving these idols, of which obviously the Lord had said that they were to never do such a thing. And so Asa chose to remove her and to stamp out that idol that she had. And no doubt that would have caused quite a bit of problem in the family. But he made that decision, and he loved the Lord and wanted to do what was right in the Lord's eyes. Now, we're going to see, as we move on into chapter 16 of Chronicles, another test that Asa is given here. And we need to see how he does with this next test. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, it says, "In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out the gold, the silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, 'There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me.' And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. Now we notice a difference here. If we think back to what we read about earlier, when the king of Ethiopia came up against Asa, what was the reaction that Asa had at that time when this king with an army of 1 million soldiers came up against Asa, almost twice as many as Asa had himself? Remember that response that he had was that the Lord doesn't need anybody to defeat his enemies. It's nothing, as he said, with God to help with many or with them that have no power. So that was the reaction that Asa had had back when the Ethiopians came. But now we notice a bit of a different response. This time we see Asa taking the gold and the silver and the things that had been put into the king's house and the house of the Lord. And he sends those to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, and makes a league with the king of Syria to come and to break off the league that he had with Israel and to move over to Judah's side and to move against Israel. Now, the Lord also sees this difference in response by Asa. And so in verse 7, he sends Hanani, the seer, to come and to tell Asa concerning what he had done here. And so, picking up in verse 7, it says, "At that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and diverse kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art. And they made a very great burning for him. So we see here that the Lord sends this seer to Asa to rebuke him because, as he said there in verse 7, that he had done foolishly, or in verse 9, that he had done foolishly. What was it that he had done here? Well, he had not relied on the Lord as he had done previously when the Ethiopians had come up against him. And so it's a teaching for us and a message to us that we always need to put our trust in him. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 here. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." That word "lean" here is exactly the same word that we read earlier when he says that he had relied on the king of Syria and that he had not relied on the Lord. Here he's telling us not to lean or not to rely on our own understanding here. And so here was a situation where Asa, despite all of his righteousness and the good that he had done, he slipped up in this particular case, and he leaned or relied on his own understanding and said, "Well, I need to go and make a league with the king of Syria so that the king of Israel will not be able to defeat me." And so the Lord was very displeased with Asa for that. We also see a second test here towards the end of his life where Asa was diseased in his feet because of what he had done. And notice there in verse 12, it says, yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. You know, that's a very easy trap for us to fall into as well, isn't it? That we don't put our trust in the Lord. We've got physicians today that can do so many amazing things. And we never need to forget, though, that, well, who is it that's really working these things? It's the Lord that's working these things. And this has happened thousands of years ago, and it happens today, where people forget that, and they put their trust in man, and they put their trust in themselves, and they lean on themselves or on their physicians or on others and not on what the Lord does. Now, we don't need to be discouraged, though, by the example of Asa. We should be reminded that in the end, Asa is held up as one of the very few righteous kings of Judah. And the Lord, as he tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord is working with all of us, and he was working with Asa here. There were some things that Asa needed to grow in, obviously. And the Lord is working with him. In verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 12, we should always remember this. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? So we should all be reminded that, yes, we from time to time may slip up in these things, in these tests that the Lord has given us, just as Asa slipped up in this case. But what did he do? Did the Lord just leave Asa to himself and leave him alone? No, we see that he sent Hanani the seer to go and to let him know exactly what he had done wrong in that case, that he had relied on the king of Syria and not on the Lord to save him out of that case. And so we should be reminded that when we fall and slip up as well, that the Lord is going to chasten us if he's working with us, and that we need to accept that chastening and receive that chastening so that we can please him and grow. Now, we are reminded, if we look in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that Asa was remembered by the Lord as being a righteous king and as one who did right. He obviously learned from those things that happened to him near the end of his life. And we see, for example, later when Jehoshaphat becomes king, what the Lord says about Jehoshaphat and how he brings Asa up much later. Beginning in verse 31 of 2 Chronicles 20, it says, Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in the way of Asa, his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, wouldn't we all like to have this testimony of the Lord that says that we walk in the way of God, doing right in the sight of God and not departing from it? And that's what the Lord's testimony here is of Asa. As we remember and saw in these earlier examples from the lesson this morning, that Asa did put his trust and his reliance in God. We saw many examples how Asa put away those wicked influences from around them and caused the people to turn back to the Lord. And we saw then how the Lord told them, I'm with you because you've been seeking me and I'm found of you. And the Lord said that he would show himself strong to those whose heart is perfect toward him. We saw all of those things in Asa. But we also need to remember that there's always those times when a test may come up. And we always need to be ready for those tests. And we always need to have that armor that we need so that we can overcome and withstand against the devices and the methods that the devil is using against us. We'll close here this morning in Revelation chapter 3 as we consider the example of the church in Philadelphia. This is another very, very encouraging example that we can read about in the scriptures. And we'll notice a few things that the Lord says about the church here in Philadelphia. Beginning in verse 7, he says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews that are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptations, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So notice here, very, very encouraging example with the church in Philippi, where Jesus said, you have a little strength and you have kept my word. In verse 9, Jesus said, I have loved you because you've kept the word of my patience. So we see that just as Asa had kept God's word and done right in the eyes of the Lord, here we see this church had done the same. But notice also what Jesus tells them in verse 11. He says, hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So was it possible that the church in Philadelphia could lose that crown that they had? It certainly was, wasn't it, in verse 11. So that's why he tells them to hold fast to that crown and don't let anyone take their crown. And so we always, as we saw with Asa and with his example, we all can be tested and we all need to be on guard at all times so that we're not tricked by the devil and overcome. But let's all be encouraged to think about these examples that we've considered this morning, to consider the work that the Lord has for all of us to do in this life. And as he encouraged Asa and the people to be strong and to do the work that he wanted them to do, lets us also be encouraged to do the same. Getting ready to sing a song here in just a minute, Lord willing, and as we always do, we offer this as a time for those here this morning that have not yet made that decision to put on Christ in baptism and to begin to walk in a new life and to begin to do that work that he wants all of us to be about doing in this life. We want you to consider that if you haven't made that step and if you haven't put him on, that you need to repent and that you need to turn to him and that you need to crucify that old man so that you can begin to serve the Lord in the way that you would have him to serve. And so we want you to consider that this morning. And if you also have any need that you need to make known, we would ask you to do so as we all stand and sing this morning.